Open your Bibles with me over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And we're going to read a story that should be pretty familiar to you, but we want to make sure that it's something that you get a hold of here. Matthew chapter 25, if I can find it here. There we go. Verse 1 we're going to start at. It says, Jesus is talking here. He's given a parable. And he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Can I just stop there just a second? Because the Lord just quickened me with that. At midnight, in the middle of the night, when they weren't expecting it. Can I tell you something? You better be ready because things happen at midnight. Things happen suddenly. Just when you're not expecting it, that's when things come along. So we've got to make sure. Let me just go on then. At midnight, it says that there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, I want us to just kind of look at this, and I want us to just, you've got to understand, this is a parable of the catching up the church, or the rapture of the church. Okay? As he's giving this, and if you didn't know that, and I think you should have by now, you've been here long enough, but it is a parable of really of Jesus coming back after the church. And see, I want you to notice here that all of the virgins, all 10 of them, went out to meet the bridegroom. You see that? They all go out, but he doesn't show up when they thought he would. He doesn't show up when they thought he would. Now notice this, that 5 of them were prepared. In other words, they thought, you know, he might not just be there waiting on us. We might ought to take and have some extra oil in case we have to wait a little while for his coming. Come on, you got to get a hold of this. But there were 5 of them there that were foolish, the Bible says, and they didn't worry about it. They weren't concerned whether or not there would be a wait or not. They weren't prepared, the Bible says. And so when the bridegroom came, when they didn't expect it, now, all of a sudden, they all get up because, you know, after all, you know, I went out to meet the bridegroom. The problem was they could not see to find him because they had no light. Their lamps had gone out. Now, those, the Bible says, that were ready. Those that were ready, they went out to meet him and they went in and the door was closed. Now, afterward, those that were foolish, you know, after they had tried to get oil off the ones that had oil, they said, we've got enough for us. Okay, can I tell you something? You've got enough salvation for you. You can't get somebody else into heaven. Come on now. Kids can't rely on their parents. Parents can't rely on their kids. It's every one of us making sure we've got that oil of the anointing. Make sure that we've made Jesus Christ Lord of our life. Making sure that we're saved and ready when the bridegroom comes. They said, we don't have enough for us and you. We only have enough for us. You need to go find you some somewhere else. You've got to go buy you some. And while they were gone, that's when he came. Before they had what they needed to get in, bridegroom came. But then they came later and they knocked and they said, open to us. We're here. We made it. And he said, I don't know you. See, there are going to be a lot of folks that's going to get left behind. And they're going to get left behind simply because Jesus is tarrying. I believe it's the mercy of God. I think that's the only reason that Jesus hasn't come back yet. Now, I understand things will be done in God's timing, but His mercy, because He loves the world so much. He loves our families that's unsaved so much. Come on. I believe it's that reason that He's tarrying and not having Jesus come right now. He's trying to give time, but it seems like as He tries to give time for the sinner to come in, the church is falling away. People that say they love Jesus are falling away. It's kind of like they are part of those virgins, but they're the ones with not enough oil in their lamp to keep them going. I'm going to tell you something, church. This is not a time to back up or let down. This is not a time to get so busy with this life that we forget about the life after. And it seems like the enemy has given us everything that you'd ever want to get distracted by. Come on now. You know, I mean, the world wants to give you all kinds of accolades for accomplishing something in the world. But I'm going to tell you, those are going to burn up with everything else in the world. The only thing that's going to matter is what we've done with the things of God. Amen. Have we been faithful to God? Have we kept oil in our lamps? Have we kept our light burning so when the bridegroom comes, we're ready? And that's something we have to make sure that we're that way. We have to make sure that we're ready, because only those that were ready got to go in. And once they went in, the door was shut. Amen. Remember the parable there of the guy that made the supper? The master that made the supper, he went in to look around at the guests and he saw somebody with no wedding gown on. And he asked him, he said, friend, how'd you get in here? And they told his servants there, he said, take him out, cast him into the fire. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You cannot get in. I don't care what you hear on TV. Come on, let me tell you something. I know they've made movies and everything else, but let me just tell you something. We are living in the age of the dispensation of the Gentiles right now. Some of Israel has been saved, but some of Israel is yet to be saved. They're God's chosen people. God's going to have 144,000 that's going to be preaching plus the angels to try to get them in. Now, they're still going to have to choose Jesus as their Lord. But see, I hope I'm wrong, but I have a real hard time, since I have to believe by faith and you have to believe by faith that Jesus Christ died for my sins. There is a God who has a Son that died for my sins, went to the cross, was placed in the tomb, and on the third day He rose again. That's what I have to believe to receive salvation. See, I have a hard time with thinking that after we're taken out, then once people see we're taken out, it's not faith anymore. By grace are you saved through faith. Once the church is gone, I mean, anybody would have, I know they probably have, ever, you know, I've heard all kinds of things, you know, extraterrestrials or whatever they are. Aliens have captured people and taken them away and sold them off the earth and all that. I'm sure the world will have some excuse. They make up an excuse for everything. But anybody that's ever heard any scripture preached is going to know that the church has been caught up and they're gone. And you're in the middle of the tribulation period, or at the beginning of the tribulation period. It's there. And they're going to see that and they're going to know that. So no longer is it faith anymore to believe that there's a God. Right? So, you know, I mean, in my heart, and I pray I'm wrong. I really do, because I want to see everybody saved. But in my mind, I'm kind of like, if God gave us the way now, then later, after we believed, then they say, okay, now we believe. Now, you see, And let me just back this up with another little, and I say none of my notes, so maybe this is for somebody to help somebody. But do you remember the Lazarus and the rich man story? Lazarus died, was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died also, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being tormented in flame. And he asked, you know, for Lazarus to come, and he said, and Father Abraham said, no, you can't come here, you can't come there. And then the rich man says, would you please send Lazarus to go warn my brothers that they not come to this awful place? And what did he say to him? They have the priest they need to believe them. And he says, no. Now listen, if you send one from the raised from the dead, they'll believe him. And he said, if they won't believe the prophets and the priest, then they wouldn't even believe somebody raised from the dead. Come on. You see, so I want to do everything I can to make sure we're ready now. I don't know about the Left Behind movies. I that's Hollywood. I want to live in real life. And I want to know that I'm ready now. Today is the day, the Bible says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And so we've got to see that we have an example here of five being ready, five not being ready, five get to go in and five get left. And you could kind of look like that's 50%. 50% that went out to meet him got to go in. Because 50% weren't ready when he came. See, the world's lulling us. It's causing us to look at ourselves and look at our accomplishments here on this earth rather than having us look toward heaven. But the Bible plainly says, set your sights on things above and not on things of the earth. See, we've been looking the wrong way. We've been looking toward earth. We've been looking toward government. We're looking toward this and that to try to save us. But that's not what's going to save us. What's going to save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, only through by Him are you going to be saved. And staying on the road to heaven is up to us. We choose whether or not we're going to walk this path. We choose what we're going to do. We choose whether we're going to church on Sunday morning. We choose whether we're going to church on Wednesday night. Come on, you know, see, the thing that you have to look at and see when I talk about the world, we have church on Sunday morning for about 2 hours. We have church on Wednesday night for usually about an hour and a half. Okay? That's not a lot of time. Really? Right? Come on. But we can't get our kids here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. But we can get them to ball practices, ball games, 6 days a week. There were ball games going on yesterday on Saturday on their day off. And the parents get out and drag, make sure they get out, take the kids, make sure they're part of, and come on, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good now. You know, and it's also that the kid can be my kid. My kid scored a goal. My kid made a touchdown. My kid did this. My kid did that. It don't matter if that your kid goes to hell. I promise you, their award won't mean anything there. And their award on earth don't mean anything in heaven now. The greatest thing that you could ever be able to say about your kid is this. My kid is a faithful member in church. Maybe my kid is the one leading the youth group. My kid has won several of their friends to Jesus. Come on. Now that's a proud parent. Yeah, I know pride's not a great thing, but I would rather be proud of my kid doing something for Jesus than proud of him accomplishing something in the world. Don't get me wrong. I understand we live in the world. I understand there's things in this world and there's nothing wrong with that. But it seems like we've allowed that to go before Jesus. Amen. We've been more concerned about that than we have keeping oil in our lamps. Keeping our kids involved in church. I'm going to tell you something, parents. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, But the biggest percentage of kids, even if you have been bringing them to church, when they start getting to college and stuff. So you better spend as much time as you can right now ingraining in them how much they need Jesus. Ingraining in them that when they get out on their own, that don't mean they get away from Jesus. It means they need Jesus then more than ever. But we, it seems like we just let them do what they want to do because we wouldn't want to hurt their little feelings. Come on, I pray that we're getting away from this, you know, cookie cutter, pancake puff, powder puff society, and maybe get back to some reality. Amen. To where we realize that a child don't know, and the child has to be taught. Come on now. Church, we got to realize that you have to know. I want a show of hands. How many of you, when you were, let's just use the age 9, 10. How many of you, when you were 9 or 10, was having a serious discussion with yourself whether or not you was a boy or a girl? You're laughing. You're laughing, but we're having to try to pass laws to keep kids that age from having sex change. Now, they did not think of that on their own, just like you and I didn't think of that on their own. Somebody put that notion in their head. Because kids don't know until they're told. And it's been adults that have told our kids. Well, you know, your voice is a little high-pitched. You know, you might have been supposed to be a girl. Come on now. Well, you know, you've got a little facial hair. You might have supposed to be a boy. Come on now. Doesn't take much. They're children and things like that get stuck in their mind then. Come on. So we have to make sure that we're staying on the right road so that we keep our kids on the right road. We have to make sure that we're instilling into them truth of the Word of God so the world don't put their truth into them. Because their truth is a lie. I said their truth is a lie. I know folks that because some of their family went the wrong way, that now they're okay with it. Used to be in church, but now they're okay with all that. It's not okay, I don't care if it's your close family. You love them, but you cancel them from the Word of God just the same. Now, you can't make anybody do anything, but you sure can tell them what God says. And that's what I'm here today to do, is to tell you what God says. And for us to realize nothing else matters other than the Word of God. And staying with the Word of God, staying in church, staying involved in church. I said staying involved in church. What makes you feel like you don't belong, and I hear it sometimes. Well, you know, I just don't feel like I belong up there, you know, because people just don't really talk to me and people don't really get around with me and people don't really just fellowship with me. Have you ever tried to get out and talk to somebody, fellowship with them and be friendly with them? You know when me and my wife became good friends? When I approached her and started talking to her. As long as we was in high school and just walking up and down the halls, just passing each other, there wasn't any sparks flew. Except in the third grade. I did ask her to marry me in the third grade. Seriously. Passed her a note. She said yes then. God said, I heard that. And later on when I was just a dork and all that, God said, you said it back then. You're stuck with him. Yeah. She's still stuck with me. Been stuck with me for 44 years? 40. I don't know. I'm losing count. We've been married since 79. And as far as I'm concerned, we've grown up together and we're going to live the rest of our lives together, right? Come on now. But we're going to stay with God the rest of our lives. And we're going to keep telling our kids right. There's time. That, you know, I mean, I'll just be admitted. Stephanie and Austin, you know, they're a different generation. You know that. They're our kids. And there are times that they think different than we do. And then I have to just pull out Scripture and get over into the Scripture and say, don't matter what you think. Come on now. This is what the Word says. It's not that it's something bad, but it's just, you know, because see what happens with every generation, there comes this opinion thing to where everybody's got their opinion of something now. Well, you know, that used to work there, you know, but now, you know, we're living in different times, and I understand there's some things about that. But you can never bypass the principles of the Word of God. See, because the methods may change, and we may do things different, but we can never compromise or change the Word of God. It always will be solid, and because it's forever settled in heaven. So we have to stay with that. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, we've come a long way as a church. I mean, I'm talking about the church has, you know, but come from places of, you know, a lot of folks wouldn't have any music. A lot of folks wouldn't then, once they would accept music, they wouldn't accept nothing but a guitar or a piano. And then they wouldn't accept any drums, and they wouldn't have any horns. And they, I mean, you know, we've had to get through a lot of junk to continue to grow. But see, none of that changed the Word of God. Because I can praise God just as good without music as I can with it. But I like it with it. Right? I remember preaching a sermon a long time ago when I first started preaching. And I was talking about the fact that we liked music with our worship. And I remember saying, you know, you might like your hot dog plain, but I like mine with sauce and coleslaw and cheese. Still going to be a hot dog. Right? Amen. So we have to stay with the Word of God. Now, we have, may have some different methods. But the biggest thing is making sure that we stay in. Come on, make sure we stay committed. You know, it's an indictment on the church to have 200 on Sunday morning and turn around and have 50 on Wednesday night. It just got quiet on me. It's an indictment. Now, I understand there's work. I get some of that. But most of it is just the fact that people just will not get out of the house on Wednesday night. That's real quiet. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just telling you a truth. But would you get out on Wednesday night if they had a big sale at Walmart? Free ball, free tickets to a UK game. Yeah, some say no, that. Would you for your free TVs? There are things that you would. There are things that you would go for. You know, and so we have to look at ourselves and say, you know, if I would get out for this, why won't I get out for Jesus? If I would do this for this, I ain't going to lie to you, okay? I'm going to tell you a truth now. But I would and have and all that kind of thing. We used to have sunrise services and we'd get up really early in the morning on Easter Sunday morning and go to church way before daylight, you know, and make sure that we, you know, have breakfast and all that. So we used to get up in early. But you know, like last year, there was a Black Friday sale going on electronics for fishing. Yep. And there wasn't a big supply of what I wanted. And so you couldn't take a chance on getting it online. You had to be there. And be there was Lexington when they opened up that morning at Cabela's. And so I hustled up Chuck. I believe it was Chuck and Scotty, wasn't it? You two. We hustled. You go with us, Chuck? You went with us? Yeah, I was thinking you did. Yeah. I hustled them boys up and they went with me. And so we went. We got there and we got it. Now, it was hard to get up and do that, but I wanted that. I wanted it bad enough to cause them two boys to go through the misery of getting up early and go with me. Now, they bought a few things, too, you know, and whatever, but they, you know. What I'm trying to say is because I wanted it, I did it. I wanted it bad enough to do it. See, if you want something bad enough, you'll do it. Even if it means you come in tired and it's 6 o'clock, you still got an hour to get to church. Yeah, but now, Pastor, I still got to clean up. Nobody told you you have to clean up when you came home from work to come to church. I'd rather see you come in. I mean, you know, some of the coal miners used to come in underground, but they'd be covered. I'd rather see you come in covered in black coal dust, can't see nothing but the white of your eyes, and see you sitting there worshiping God, as to know you're sitting at the house and you missed out on what God had for you. But it's all about doing what we want to do. Right? Because in other times, when we got something we want to do, we'll run home, and whether we take a shower or not, we might fix our hair a little bit, wash off a little bit, gone, out the door. I'm telling you things I know about because I've done these things, okay? It's not like I'm preaching just to you, I'm preaching just to me too. The fact that we have to understand there's only one road. Only one road to heaven. And we have to stay on that road. Can I tell you that there are no exit signs on the road to heaven? Can I tell you there are no stop signs on the way to heaven? You have to keep on pressing on. You have to, for a better word, you have to make yourself. Because this flesh don't necessarily want to. I don't know about my flesh sometimes just literally don't want to. This morning, I woke up around between 5 and 5:30, and I could not go back to sleep, so I just got up. I'm not going to sit here and just wallow around in the bed. I'm going to get up. So I got up and wallowed around, looking through my phone, looking, and all of a sudden, about 6 o'clock, I got sleepy. And I thought, well, I got clock set for 6:30. That's what time we usually get. I got 30 minutes. I set my phone because I was trying. Yeah. Guess what? Went to sleep. I mean, good sleep. Sound sleep. Dream sleep. In a recliner. You know, couldn't sleep in the bed, but a recliner. And then my phone started going, rah, 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 and I'm waking up my eyes and I thought, I don't want to get up. I just got to sleep. That was my flesh. But you know what I did? I made myself. I thought, I can't even just lay here a second because I'm tired. So I get up and I go and make sure I wake Pastor Ed up. Okay? Get her up. Go through. I say, hey, time to get up. I go in through there to get my coffee and fix me some breakfast and all that stuff. And Pastor Ed didn't show up for coffee. You know what that means, don't you? Uh-huh. So I have to leave my stuff in there and walk back in. I look back in the door and there she is. Hey, you got to get up and get ready. Here she comes out of it. You know, she had to make herself. I had to make myself. You can't just let your flesh win out. There are going to be Wednesday nights that you have no excuse except, I just don't want to. And that's your flesh. Yeah, we're just going to go up there and they're going to sing some of their older songs and they won't be hardly nobody there or anything. Pastor will preach something that we've already heard and whew, I can watch it online. You lying dog. You're probably not going to watch it online. You may have good intentions. But the chances you sitting there for that whole time watching it online, because something going to come up. Nothing else, you'll get hungry. I think I'll get me a snack. And you go in and get sidetracked doing something else. And come on. I'm just telling off on us. Us. Okay? We have to understand, church, this is all tactics. The enemy is in a lot of this. Now, some of it's our fault. Some of it's our fault. But here's the thing we have to look and say to ourselves. If I make time for other things, why can't I make time for God just that short time? You know, we cry and we pray, Lord, send us revival. We want revival, Lord. We want to see our family saved. We want to see a great move of God, signs and wonders and miracles. But if you can, do it in about a week. because after a week, we probably won't want to go no more. Isn't it sad? It's just been on my heart that, and I feel like that's what God's trying to say to the church. Now's the time. It's time for a great revival in the church. Did you hear what I said? A revival in the church. Because we got to get ourselves revived before we can go out here and get people saved. The world don't need revival. The world needs saved. The church needs revived. And it's every church. It's believers everywhere. It's the fact that when COVID came along, everybody for some reason got to thinking, you know, that's a staying home's pretty nice. Now there was already a good portion that was doing that anyway. But once COVID came along, it felt like they passed a law for you to stay home. Right. Come on now. Matter of fact, the government told you to stay home. Dared you to go to church. Actually, I threatened to put you in jail if you went to church. Right? Come on now. You see, and that is still in the mindset of people, of the church even. Come on. The government's still doing it. Right? My son-in-law works for the government, huh? He's ready to do whatever they tell him to do. But, you know, you can't blame for somebody staying home and working from home if they'll let you work from home. Did you hear that outside janitors and maintenance people that has to be in the building, that 1% of your government workers work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day? They get paid still, but only 1% are working 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. See, it's the mindset thing. Well, I mean, that's just passed right on over to the church. I'll bet you that there's only 1% of the church, probably, that goes to church every time they have church at their church. Probably wouldn't miss it by bad. Because the church has taken the mindset of the world to say, you know, well, I just stay home, and you know, besides, I love Jesus. I can love Jesus at home. Yeah, you can, but you miss the experience of coming into His house. And then when the gifts of the Spirit start operating, you get to be there, be present, and who knows, it may be for you. People are praying all the time for God to do this for them and do that for them, but what if the time God wants to do it for them is the time that they miss church? I know that this irritates people when I, you know, I understand that there is life, but I'm going to tell you something. If you can make time for everything else, you can make time for Jesus. And so that's what we have to do. They didn't even take time to take some extra oil with them. All they did was just went out there and made a show. Right? They just showed up. We're here to meet the bridegroom, but they weren't interested enough to be there when he did come. A lot of people are like that. They'll go to church, they'll give their life to the Lord to get saved, and then that's it. They don't stay for the long haul. They don't stay ready. They don't stay full of oil and have oil with them and keep their lights burning. We have to learn that we've got to stay on the road. Because it's not how we start this journey out. It's not how we start out. It's how we end. Come on, that's what matters. I mean, yeah, I'll be honest with you. My road has not been the smoothest road in the world. Back in my younger days, things was pretty rocky. Matter of fact, back in my younger days, there were times if Jesus would have come, I'd have went to hell. After I said I love Jesus, because I put Him to the side for other things. Amen. But when I rededicated my life, I realized what a mess I was in before. Because see, you can have your life in a mess and not really realize it's in a mess. Because you can get so busy with the things of life that you don't even realize it. I'll bet you there's folks that have not been here in this church in so long that they don't remember when they came last. And for them, it don't seem like it's been very long, because how many knows time gets past you real quick? Anybody ever do something and you're talking to somebody and say, well, you know, now last year we did this or that and whatever. And you get to look, and it wasn't last year. It was 4 or 5 years ago. And it felt like last year. But so much time had passed in between. I look around at these kids growing up and I'm just like, whoa. You know, some of these kids weren't even in existence when we started this church. Many of them weren't. And now here they are. You know, I see Jay Lee sitting back. She's a teacher now. I remember when she came into this world. You know, and so much time has passed. Church, it's too important. Eternity is too important. And time is passing too fast for us to just, just casually live our life however we want to. It's too important to make sure our kids are coming to church and make sure that we're involved and make sure that Jesus is being glorified in our home. God is getting ready to really move on the church. And we need to make sure that we're involved in that. We need to make sure that we finish strong. We might have had a rough start, a rocky start, or whatever. But now we need to make sure that we finish strong. Anybody ever watched any races? You know, where they run marathons and that kind of thing. Or they do the track thing around. You ever watched them do some of that running, you know, and it's, some of it's long. You know, there's the sprint that's fast. But then there's that long run that they run for so long or so many laps. And if you'll watch most of those races, you'll see somebody out in front. I mean, man, they're just pumping it. And they'll stay in front most of the race. But then when it starts getting down close to the end, somebody that's 5, 6 people back, all of a sudden you see them start creeping up. And I mean, they start pumping it. They start pumping it. And all of a sudden, here they come. They pass this one. Then they pass that one. They pass that. They get to the leader, and the leader looks over and he can't believe it. There's somebody beside him now. And he's already going full force. And that one over there just pumps right on past and wins. I want to win, don't you? I want to win. I don't even want to come in second. Do you? Come on. I want us to win. I want us to keep pushing, you know. But the only way you can win, stay on the road. Anybody like rodeo? Ain't many people. I kind of like watching some rodeo, you know. And of course, what I like to watch, you know, I mean, I like going down to the Stampede down there and watch them play around on the horses and eat. Right? But I kind of like the rodeo and I like to watch the bull riders. Anybody like to watch the bull riders? I mean, you know, Pastor Ed was, you know. And you know, what they do there is they've got the meanest bulls that they can find in the world. And that they'll put that cowboy on that bull's back and they'll basically tie his own hand to that thing, because the rule is, when they let you out of this gate, you are not allowed to touch the bull with the other hand. You can only hold on with one hand, and you have to stay on that bull for 8 seconds before you get a score. And your score will depend on how well you rode. But if you don't stay on at least 8 seconds, you don't get a score. 8 seconds. And it's pretty amazing if you watch some of them. Then some of them get their hand hung. But once they win 8 seconds, their score is from 0 to 8. Now for you and I, this ain't no 8 second ride. Right? We're in this thing for the long run. So here's what I suggest to you. I suggest you get a hold of Jesus. Tighten your hand real tight. The only difference is, with Jesus, you can get a hold of both hands. Because He loves it when you get a hold of Him with both hands and hug Him. And hold on until we finish this thing. Just hold on. Make yourself hold on. Make yourself do it. You have to make yourself Hold on. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to decide. Now, if you're a parent, you have to decide for your kids. What do you want for your kids? What's going to be the thing for your kids? And what a time it would be for you to have to look at one of your kids when the church is raptured out and they're left. When you have to look at them and see that they're left and know that you're the reason that they didn't go to church and get on the road and go to Jesus. It's your fault. Man, what a fault. And you say, well, you're trying to make us feel bad. Yes. Yes. The Bible talks about save some by pulling them out of the fire. If I can pull you out, I will. Because I want to see you saved. I want to see your kids saved. I want to see us all go to heaven together. And we only do that if we stay on the road. Jesus talking about end times. They asked him, they said, Lord, what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus starts to talking about the wars and the rumors of wars that'll all be going on. He talks about them bringing you up before councils and persecuting you. And he talks about, he says, and the love of many shall wax cold. He's talking about the love of God, people loving God. The love of many will wax cold. But then he says something. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I want us church to endure to the end. I want every person in here. I want us all to go to heaven together. I love you that much. Jesus loves you that much. But it's your choice. You have to choose heaven by getting saved. And then you have to choose heaven by staying on the road. Keep living the life. There ain't nothing out in that world that's better. You got the best thing going. And you got the eternal thing going. When you got God, stay on the road. Make up your mind. I'm going to live for Jesus and I ain't quitting. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Father, right now I just pray that Lord, you've spoken to hearts here, Father God, to encourage us all, Lord, to realize you've got to be first no matter what. Nothing that this world affords is worth going to hell for. Help us, Father God, Lord, to just get our hearts and minds set. Lord, to make this body line up when we don't want to. To put you first, to serve you, Lord, and to give you glory, Father God, that our lives will be spent for you, Lord, and it'll be have an eternal benefit. And Lord, you'll get glory out of us. Father, I pray if there's anybody here today, Lord, that don't know you as their personal Savior, today's the day they say, yes, I want Jesus. If there's anybody here that's backslidden or grown cold, they say, yes, I want to renew my commitment to God. Lord, in any case, we just thank you, Father, that you're here to save. Your mercy is new every morning, Father. Your grace is sufficient for no matter what we've done. Lord, it can all be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for that. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here in this place and you need Jesus in your life, if you're here in this place and you need to rededicate your life, I want to give you an opportunity to come. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't think, well, you know, I can do that at a later time, do this at a later time. No. Now's the time. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today's the day that you make a fresh commitment. Anybody? Say, that's me. All right. Anybody need us to lay hands on you, believe God with you for anything today? Mm-hmm.